to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Nancy, thank you very much for the experience. The questions you asked really helped guide me, you know, following a certain path to understand deeper about what I do and then even kind of understand some of the things I even never thought of before, the question you asked. So that was such a good experience.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. And today in the studio, we have Terry Wu, and he owns Neural Marketing. It's a company based in Minneapolis that he founded in, well, you founded a long time ago, but full time, you've been at it since 2016. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have another second phenomenal conversation about this neuroscience of marketing. And that's how the name came about, with Neural Marketing. And we're going to focus on specific industries and what to think about. So, like, if you're in professional services, you know, how can you apply neuroscience to your marketing efforts? And the same question for the, if you're in a retail business, or if you're in a manufacturing or production company, you know, how would you apply some of these neuromarketing techniques that we've been talking about? We know that Terry Wu had a long journey here to develop his expertise in the United States. In China, you grew up and you immigrated to the United States when you were only 25. Your family's very highly educated and very accomplished. You ranked very high in your degree. Mm-hmm. What degree did you get in China?
I did not get any degree.
It was the school that you went to,
right,
for because, 8 years.
Yeah. It was a very prestigious school.
Yes. And so, yeah, it would be considered Ivy League school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Here. Right.
Yeah.
Great. And we have a sponsor supporting our conversation today. And Kelly Johansson owns Ideal Property Investments, where she could be your property investment guru. She can work with you to locate, secure, and cash flow your very own rental property. Whether this is your first property or you are a seasoned investor, connect with Kelly to be your property manager. You can reach her at idealpropertiesmn.com, or you can reach her at 1-612-290-6107. So thank you, Kelly, for sponsoring today's conversation with Terry Wu. And just to give you a little more background about Terry, his services are based on extensive research and application of proven neuromarketing principles. Most web design and internet marketing firms are led by graphic designers. His company is led by his background as a neuroscientist. So he studied in his undergraduate degree at Duke University, and his PhD was acquired at Vanderbilt University. During his 20-year career in the Department of Neuroscience at the University of Minnesota, he began creating websites for a select group of businesses. He began investigating Google's search engine ranking algorithms in 2003. That research led to a remarkable SEO rankings for his clients' websites, which is where you kind of, that's the foundation and the path and the little opportunity that you saw within the marketplace.
Yes.
To really expand and get neuromarketing out in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're very passionate about the field, and why is that?
I think marketing has been more of an art than a science. People have the inclination, you know, they know how to do this, but most of the work is guided by their hunches or their guesswork, not based on science. So it's a very risky proposition when you spend a lot of money without knowing what the outcome will be. It's not very highly predictable. So it's like threw something to the wall and then see if it sticks.
So you're saying don't use your intuition?
Yes. You can use your intuition, but you're much better off using some science to back your intuition.
I see.
Because we sometimes, rely too much on intuition without knowing, we have many cognitive biases. We have a lot of a tendency to make mistakes without knowing that we're making mistakes.
Yeah.
That's why marketing, every year over $100 billion spent on marketing are totally wasted. And 9 out of 10 new products every year fail.
Hmm.
It's all in marketing.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, 9 out of 10. I didn't realize it was that high.
9 out of 10 new products fail. Yeah. They never last more than a year. Billions and billions of dollars got totally wasted. They all got marketing done wrong.
What is the neuroscience in neuromarketing? How is it different than regular marketing?
Neuromarketing is a new science. It's based on neuroscience, behavioral economics, and social psychology.
Oh.
They draw insights from these three branches of science and then combine them together and try to understand how consumers make buying decisions.
So that makes sense to me. In our last conversation, you had said that there aren't a lot of people who are trained in this industry.
Right.
And you can't really watch a video clip to be trained in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because if you've got three different science areas
right.
that are coming together, you need to have a grasp
yes.
of the behavioral economics
mm-hmm.
of social psychology.
Right.
And what was the other one?
Neuroscience
of course.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the special expertise that you're bringing to the field. It reminds me of when I was teaching at St. Kate's
mm-hmm.
University, that we had pulled together a research team as part of a grant to expand entrepreneurship across disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were bringing professors from the nursing field together, from social work, from business, from marketing, and each of them were looking at some characteristics to look for in students
mm-hmm.
who are more innovative in how they approach
right.
a certain situation within each field.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the way the industries are moving now, where they are coming together to utilize disciplines instead of separate silos
yes.
for each. They're merging them together and saying, hey, let's take a look at using, marketing from all these different perspectives.
Exactly. It's a holistic approach.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
That's what makes you passionate about it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the marriage, like you had mentioned in
right.
our last conversation,
yes.
right,
yeah.
of your two loves,
right.
Marketing and neuroscience.
Right. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So in our last conversation, we kind of, as we moved into neuromarketing, we focused on the websites.
Right.
Because you have a number of different services that you provide for people. Mm-hmm. So you take a look at their web design and mm-hmm. you add the neuroscience
right.
perspective. You provide search engine optimization. So, and you take a look at the conversion rate optimization or try to figure out, so you apply neuromarketing strategies throughout
mm-hmm.
to make the transition. Because a lot of people have great looking websites, but they're not converting into customers or people that visit their sites to stay.
Right. Turn into leads or sales.
Yes, exactly. So you also look at how can you present your clients mm-hmm. with a compelling marketing content.
Right.
So it's not about the design as much as it's designing it based on the neuroscience.
Yes.
Not based on a beautiful look.
Right.
Okay. So it's a little more functional.
Right. Yeah.
Simpler. Approach
yep.
and simpler.
Mm-hmm.
And a pay-per-click marketing campaigns, you also work with your clients on that?
Yes.
And then internet marketing consultations.
Yes.
So these are ongoing. Is that why, like I saw on your site, and you also talked about how to get clients to make sure that when you have clients giving you feedback about how great you are,
mm-hmm.
that you put it in a framework where they have the person's picture there.
Yeah.
And I like the way you put also the level of experience. There's something about it, I couldn't quite put my finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
But as you explained it, that framing it mm-hmm. in a certain way also has a way in which it's attractive.
Right.
But it also sends a message of this is a real person.
Right.
Giving real feedback.
Right.
And they've been working with you for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't a generic type
right.
thing. Yeah. Referral or I'm forgetting the name of
testimonial.
Testimonials. There yeah. we go. So simple, yeah. yet was out of reach a moment ago.
Right.
Okay. So we also talked about anchoring, helping visitors mm-hmm. when they come to your site. Mm-hmm. You want to find a way to anchor them. And we talked about using the analogy of like IKEA
right.
or with grocery stores.
Right.
But IKEA is a little bit, you end up like being in a maze.
Right.
Whereas with a grocery store, you have the aisles, you know, you can see the end of the aisles.
Mm-hmm.
So you may need to go through the entire aisle, but you can see the out
right.
end of it and of where to go from there a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to present predictable kind of experience,
yes.
which builds trust kind of subtly.
Right.
And you want to guide people through how you want them to work with you. Really?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. So elegant simplicity.
Right.
Is and somewhat intuitive.
Yes.
So there's intuition that's used based on the findings that you found in neuroscience.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the two can actually come together.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you mentioned what would Google do
mm-hmm.
As a book. So putting the answers before your customers asked the questions was kind of the key point that you were making about that book.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was there anything else about that book that you wanted to mention?
That's the only point that really struck me very strongly. I feel like, you know, this is actually exactly what Google expects to find on your website. And this is actually, if you do that, and Google actually will rank your website higher than your competing, their competitors' websites.
Yeah, and we mentioned some of the things that people do with their websites is really focus on more of telling them about yourself
right.
instead of how you can work with them. So in today's conversation, we thought it would be helpful as we were preparing for our conversation to talk about three different industries.
Okay.
So professional services, retail, and manufacturing, and maybe product design.
Sure.
Or product design is in the manufacturing.
Right. Right.
But let's apply some neuromarketing strategies to this or ways to think about it.
Okay.
Is that what you...
Yeah.
How
let's,
you... Okay.
Let's try, at least try it.
Okay. So let's start with professional services. So
okay.
there's a lot of real estate agencies out there.
Yeah.
So if we were applying neuromarketing principles,
mm-hmm.
what would you take a look at first?
Well, real estate is very highly competitive business.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know a lot of agents, they work really hard to line up new clients. So if you get a referral, you may get it, you may not get it. But if you understand how the brain makes decisions, you have a better chance to make the sale. But how do you influence, how do you make subtle influences on, you know, potential customers,
yeah.
potential clients? There are some studies done, really interesting studies. You know, this is all, you know, people unconscious, you know, unconscious behavior, unconscious mind playing a big role in how we make decisions. I'll tell you one study, Nancy, and this is actually really kind of interesting. Say, you know, I know real estate agents say, you know, I want to, you know, meet this new client. I meet this new client in a coffee shop. Say, you know, the agent name is Susan, and then the new prospective client, you know, her name is, you know, Jennifer. Jennifer wants to buy, Susan wants to buy Jennifer a drink. What kind of drink does she want to buy? Should she get a really cold drink or warm drink? The answer is actually you want to buy a warm drink, because when people have their hands hold on a warm drink,
oh yeah,
that warmth reflects on the person, you know, you're talking to.
Oh, I see.
It's very subtle, because mm-hmm. when you hold a very cold drink, you say, hey, this is something cold. Oh, I know, that person's cold as well. So this is actually a very unconscious, you know, unconscious behavior. We don't even realize it, but it's really reflected in our behavior, our thinking. Those are the subtle things we don't even pay attention to, but those are the things can make a big difference.
So offer coffee or tea.
Yes, exactly. Where even you bring people to your office, you know, should I offer you a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or, you know, a bottle of ice cold water? You may want to think about maybe a cup of warm tea or a cup of warm coffee instead of a bottle of ice cold water, because when they hold their hand, when they have their hands holding onto that bottle of cold water, they think you're cold.
Hmm.
And you're not as warm, as welcoming as, you know, you are. You really are. Those are the subtleties. You know, there's another very interesting study. Even what people sit on, it has an impact on how they they project your personality. When they sit on a softer chair, they think you're more welcoming, you're more flexible. When they sit on a hard chair, and they think you're not as flexible. Those subtle things, you know, can really subtly influence how people perceive you.
I see.
Yeah.
So we're sitting on pretty hard chairs.
But it's cushioned. It's cushioned.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's cushioned.
So there's a warmth there.
Yeah, it's true. So, you know, if you decide to say, let's meet a coffee shop,
yeah,
they want to pick a coffee shop, they have at least cushioned chair.
Right, that's like by the fireplace.
Yeah, or something. Yeah,
yeah, so something like that.
Feel so comfortable.
I see. So those are subtle things to set up kind of the conversation to make it comfortable for people.
Yeah, comfortable. And then unconsciously, those subtle things actually can make a big difference in terms of, say, this person feels like, yeah, you're the right person to hire or you're the wrong person to hire. Make a big difference in terms of whether they're hiring you or not, how you influence their decision-making.
Yeah. So maybe instead of offering coffee, tea, or water, you offer coffee or tea, and I'll give you a water on the way out.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Okay. And something that's doable. And noticing the furniture. Now, according to feng shui, there's a certain way, there's energy
mm-hmm.
in the room, and there's a way in which you put the furniture.
Right.
So, like, usually, if there's a doorway, you do not want to have your chair to the door.
Right.
Is there anything in the neuroscience elements regarding that?
That I wish I knew the answer. I don't think so. If there is something like that, I haven't heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What else would you like to share about in professional services when you're developing relationships with people? And mm-hmm. what you're saying too of just offering some things. Now, that could be in the legal profession.
Mm-hmm.
That could be in the coaching profession.
Yes.
Or when you're out and about, like you're saying, mm-hmm. then carefully pick your meeting place.
Right.
And is this every time or especially just when you're first meeting somebody?
Especially when you first meet somebody, you know, that's really, you know, the first impression.
Like your first impression.
Yeah, it's very critical. You know, that's how you imprint them with the first impression.
I see.
And even sometimes, you know, what people wear can make a big difference, big impact on how people perceive you.
So I learned in sales
mm-hmm.
that when you want to close the deal, wear blue.
Okay.
It's harder for people to not buy from you if you're wearing blue.
Okay.
And I notice salespeople when they, yeah. But, you know, I'm curious to know if that's true.
I don't know, but at least, you know, I think blue is actually a kind of a semi-neutral color. Not really, you know, black can be very kind of aggressive, intimidating color. But unless, you know, you're a judge, you wear a black robe in the courtroom, or you're, you know, a police officer, you wear black. It can be, but black can kind of create a distance from the people you're trying to get close to. Black, you know, you kind of wear, you know, black very often, you know, it's kind of an authoritative figure, wear black.
Like those in the orchestra?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Performers,
yep.
They have a tendency to wear all black.
Yeah. Or very formal. Sometimes, you know, so that's kind of something can actually unconsciously kind of make people feel like, you know, a little intimidating.
Okay.
Create a little distance. And then the other color actually I heard is not to wear is actually yellow. You don't want to wear like a yellow dress or yellow jacket or yellow, you know, sweater, because yellow actually can mess up your skin tone.
Right. Unless you have like a darker color underneath.
Maybe, yeah.
Like that's close to your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Or it depends.
Yeah.
I mean, darker skinned people look really great in yellow.
Mm-hmm. That's possible, yeah. They have done, I heard there's done studies, and, you know, they rate people what color when they wear, you know, they rate their attractiveness. Yellow actually is kind of an off-putting color.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So, you know, just kind of be mindful what you wear, how you present yourself.
What about red or orange?
Red or orange, and, you know, if you wear a red tie or orange tie, it's fine. But if you wear like a red blazer or orange blazer, that's kind of a pretty, you know, just try not to be too, you know, different. You want to wear something more neutral, more subtle, maybe, you know, less intimidating, less aggressive. You know, black color is very kind of a, can be, you know, kind of intimidating color. No, that's okay, but...
He's saying that's okay because I was pointing to my black blazer.
but when you sit on the, you know, formal meeting, you know, they actually say, you know, for the defense attorneys, you know, in the courtroom or prosecutors, when they wear black, and they tend to create this impression in the jurors, you know, eyes.
Oh.
They're more aggressive.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about grays are always good.
Neutral, yeah.
Neutral's always good.
Right, yeah.
In any setting.
Right.
Wow. Ooh, good to know. All right. Anything else about professional services before we move on to retail?
Let's move on. There are many things can actually be, you know, kind of a based on what you're trying to accomplish, you know, what, you know, what your goals are. You know, we can normally sit down, you know, kind of try to understand, look at the whole picture, and then try to say, hey, you know, how we, you know, blend, you know, put different elements in, you know, create a holistic approach.
Okay.
You know, so just like put a band-aid here and there.
Well, one last thing that I just thought of, like in professional services, so people give out hard copies of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there something that makes it more professional, or is there anything in the neuroscience area regarding marketing materials that you give people that, I know there's a lot of elements to it, but what would be, if we look at colors or brochures?
We don't do brochures, but we can help you, guide you, you know, what colors you want to use. The simplest way to think about this is just use simple colors. Black on white is always, you cannot go wrong with it.
Okay.
But don't try something creative like let's do white on green, white on blue, white on red. Those colors can be really, you know, putting people off.
So have your logo on there, but the rest of it kind of stick to white.
You can have your logo whatever color you feel, you know, that's your brand. You know, you cannot change it every other day. But for the rest of the color, you know, you have total control.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the most, you know, what the materials we read, newspapers, magazines, books, they're all black on white, black on light yellow or black on light blue. No, black on light gray.
Yeah.
We don't see white on green, white on red, white on blue. If you look at most popular websites, Google, Amazon, all black on white. If Google knows white on green, white on red can make more money, you think they wouldn't change the color? And same goes for Amazon. So this, you know, this is something people kind of think, I want something catch their attention. When you give them a brochure, you already caught their attention. The next thing is, for them to read it, make it easier for them to read it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, and when there's a focus on differentiation all the time,
right.
it's using the neuromarketing things that work that are standard, and do the standard, and then venture off from there and your uniqueness.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. Retail industry.
Retail, this is actually a big area where neuromarketing can't really come in.
Yeah.
I'll give you one, you know, we talked about last time, I don't remember, you know, we talked about the wine store story.
Yeah.
The background music can have a really strong impact on, how, you know, what kind of wine people select.
German or French.
Or French wine.
Yeah.
Depends on the music. And music, you know, in the restaurant environment, in the retail space, in, you know, fast tempo music can make people shop faster. Slow tempo music make people slow down. Not necessarily buy more, but they slow down. You can control the pace. people unconsciously follow the music and then without knowing too much about it. And then they really, it kind of changed their behavior. Those are the things that impact people, you know, really. If you're shop, if you really want people to spend more time in your shop, you may want to play some slow tempo music, relax them, have them slow down, spend more time thinking about it. Or, you know, you want to have a fast environment, fast moving environment. You want to move people, move the customer faster. You can change the music tempo.
Yeah.
Those are the things. And the other thing we didn't touch on this is a scent. Scent actually has a very powerful impact on our emotions. And then the thing is here with the, this is kind of a part about neuroscience. We have a certain part of the brain called the limbic system. It's,
yeah,
it's a whole area. It's a large system. Mm-hmm. There are many structures involved in building up the system. This system has everything to do with emotion. All our emotions depend on this part of the brain. If you, this part of the brain got messed up, and then we don't feel the emotion, or where we, you know, get stuck on, you know, different emotion. So from your nose to the emotional brain, you're only one synapse away. In the old textbook, the emotional brain used to be called the nose brain.
Oh.
Yeah, it's everything has any, if you look at a rat, just everything, anything having to do with rat behavior has any, probably has something to do with smell. So, but for the human, from the still the structure remains the same from the, your nose, from the nose to the emotional brain, you're only one synapse away. But from the eyes to the emotional brain, you're several synapses away. You go through, so the signal goes
several yeah.
synapse. So the more synapse relays you have to pass through, the more chances the signal get enhanced, weakened, or completely disappeared. So, you know, if you go into the store, you smell something that's comfortable, it actually can impact your behavior, can impact your emotion without you knowing it, because you, it comes directly from your nose to the emotional brain without any conscious awareness.
So we were talking about how grocery stores have brought back bakeries.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, people can smell, and it also is kind of a homey.
Yeah, exactly.
It creates a homey environment.
Yeah.
Or when you go into a restaurant, when they have like the roast, the fire burning
yeah.
Yeah, meals, mm-hmm. and there's an ambiance there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why they spend so much time on the ambiance.
Right.
Yeah.
Research has found out we can, you know, we have very strong memory of all the different scents. We can remember probably, I forgot the number, maybe 50,000 different scents. We can remember that many.
Wow.
So it's a very powerful sensory input. And also, you know, it's subconscious. You know it, you react to it before you know it.
Yeah.
This is why, you know, for a lot of real estate agents, when they sell houses, stage houses, they say, hey, maybe bake some bread or bake some cookies. Or I even heard one realtor say, you know, he heard this technique is they brew a pot of coffee before showing, and then they pour the coffee down the drain. Just have the kind of aroma kind of lingering inside the house, not too overwhelming, not too strong, just to have a little scent in the coffee beans, and that really can make the house feel more comfortable. This actually, you know, now you know that we know the science behind it, because it really from the nose to the emotional brain, you're only one synapse away. People, you settle people down, and without, you know, make them feel more comfortable, feel at home.
I think computer retail stores need to add some sort of a scent
mm-hmm.
that is, you know, calms people down.
Possibly, yeah. That decision can be kind of a, make people nervous, because, you know, it's a big purchase.
And yeah.
It's, you know, most people don't really know what to buy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Or you're waiting in line, you know, at Apple mm-hmm. or Microsoft or wherever, you know, where you have a problem to fix.
Right.
You're usually in a hurry.
Right.
But there's nothing in the atmosphere
mm-hmm.
that calms you down.
Right.
Everything is kind of white, bland, mm-hmm. like with Apple, it's almost like, well, let's put you on our list. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little intimidating, like you cannot just come in here
right.
and get an answer right away.
Right.
We're different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to stand in line
yeah.
and wait, and you can go over there, but mm-hmm. you know, it's so it's a little off-putting, I
right.
think. Anyways, that's how they set it up.
Mm-hmm.
to be a little bit intimidating, I think.
Right.
Yeah. And what about manufacturing and product design? What are your thoughts with the neuromarketing in putting in packaging things and creating things?
Right. So I think Frito-Lay did some neuromarketing test studies, and then they wanted to see how by changing the packaging, they can make the product sell more. And the idea is this, you know, you can say you are in the business, making the best tasting potato chips.
Yeah.
And the healthiest potato chips. And then you focus on the ingredients, focus on the cooking techniques, and focus on this and that, you know, to source different, you know, materials. But if you focus on that, that's great. But don't forget to focus on the packaging. Because what people see on the outside of the potato chips, that influences how they taste. From the chip, from the product. This is actually how our brain sees things, you know, colors, labeling, and the information you put on there, you know, what picture, whether you have a healthy, you know, make the picture, you know, the packaging make the food looks healthier than it is, that make them taste better, or, you know, make people feel healthier. Those things can have a huge impact on whether the product sells or not.
Yeah. And I'm thinking in a manufacturing company, you've got a lot of machines. And so I'm thinking behind the scenes, employees, how can you create an environment that's warmer and not so mechanical?
You can change the color design of the, you know, the facility. I don't know exactly what color will be really, you know, good for manufacturing environment, but what, you know, they have done some study. I think with the yellow color in the jail, it actually kind of lowered the people's, you know, tendency to behave more violently.
I see.
And so there are actually some colors that actually can really calm you down. And can be blue is actually one color that really calms people down. But I don't know whether in the manufacturing environment with the, you know, machine noise in the background, with the, you know, their, you know, assembly line, what color can actually impact, you know, make them feel, you know, lower the accident rates and, you know, feel, create a safer environment. I don't know, but that's something people, you know, can test it, you know, can, you know, dig into studies and see whether something have been done in that area.
Yeah. And if they hired you to figure that out, you would do the research.
We'll do the research. We can do the research. Yeah, we definitely can, you know, do the research, kind of dig out, you know, whether some study have been done, you know, in different environment to see how color can influence, you know, people's behavior, reduce, you know, the accident rates, you know, something like that.
Yeah, because I imagine for you, you're in so many different situations with different types of customers that it'd be a challenge to be well-versed in all.
Right.
But I imagine with each customer that comes in, you kind of take a philosophy of you're doing the research about them anyways.
Right. At least we know where to start. And then at least we know kind of what literature, you know, certain body of literature we can find something to applicable or related to the client's requirements or needs. That will be our starting point. And then we can, you know, go further by maybe, you know, designing some tests for the clients to make, or, you know, hire some outside third party, you know, vendors to do some tests. And those are the things we can, you know, accomplish.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you've got some other people that are part of that make up your team.
Right.
Yeah. And what do they do?
We have a writer. He writes the content. He's very, you know, skilled in marketing.
What's his name?
And George.
Okay.
Yeah. He's, you know, he has been, you know, in the consumer space for a long time, you know, consumer marketing space for a long time. So he writes very well. He has written probably about 60 or 70 websites. We worked together for over 10 years. And he's a really outstanding writer. And he really can get to the point and put the certain, you know, emotional elements, you know, help people understand the content, also help them engage them emotionally, you know, engage them to take action and to, you know, to help our clients to sell their products and services.
And is there someone else too?
Deirdre, you know, she's part of the team. She has psychology and her background in psychology, and she's in the, you know, help us understand, you know, how we design the website from the consumer's perspective, how actually the psychology can come in to help us understand, you know, the behavior, you know, consumer psychology, you know, use that knowledge to make the design, the language, you know, the messaging more effective.
So overall, what do you hope to accomplish during your career in this industry? Or what would you like to see in the future and influence?
It's a great question. You know, I wish I have figured that out. But now my main goal is I want to be the advocate to tell people what this is. Because there's a lot of misinformation out there. People don't really understand what this is.
And
then I've been giving talks, you know, so far, maybe 5 talks so far publicly to different groups of business owners. After they heard what I told them about during my talks, they thought, wow, this is really fascinating. Some of the stuff actually is not totally new to them. They kind of know what it is, but they don't really know the science behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of was like, I heard people doing this, but they just don't know. Yeah, you know, if you do this by following the science, the success rate is much higher.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
In any field, when it's a burgeoning field, mm-hmm. And there's more and more research that's coming about, you also have a number of different articles, and that's part of the way that you're educating the population.
Right.
But I think I'd like to, this is the mentoring piece I have for you.
Okay.
Okay. Educating is okay,
mm-hmm.
is good,
right.
is important. It's also important to engage the customer into the experience
mm-hmm.
through the education.
Okay.
So, you know, pulling them into, so you're educating each person that you meet with, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Each client that comes in.
Right.
And so having the system in place of how you walk them through that.
Right.
But I think my main point is in fields where we are focused on education, we also need to equally create a pathway so that you can create a lot of sales that go
right.
along with it to really elongate your stay in the profession and your
yeah.
level of success.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and so the one thing about neuromarketing, I think, is it isn't a hard concept to
mm-hmm.
get jazzed about.
Right.
Like even in our conversation, it's easy for me to kind of jump in
mm-hmm.
and kind of expand, oh, I relate to that with
right.
the feng shui principles
right.
out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or when you're talking about different colors and what to wear, well, fashion designers,
right.
you know, have also been trying to educate us
right.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you're pulling together the pieces of the package for each customer,
right.
that it's kind of a, this is your uniqueness,
right.
is how you pull together this neuromarketing piece.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because you want to be aware of those subtle things of how people are making decisions.
Right.
And part of it too, it sounds to me, is you're also educating people about how their mind works and makes decisions.
Exactly.
And that we need to be much more aware
exactly.
of how we go, how things are set up.
Right.
So
right.
that we're not on the receiving end as much as we're in charge of, oh, I understand how neuromarketing works.
Right.
And
right.
I can see where I'm being pulled into this.
Exactly.
And I still can stop this because hackers and, you know, I now get like a spam email
mm-hmm.
and I can see how they're using,
yes.
you know, feeling words to try to get
yep.
at me.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they don't have empathy. They
right.
come across as empathy.
Right.
Like, I got your email, you know,
right.
I've hacked into your site and
right.
it's scary stuff.
Right.
And they're trying, you know, to get at you.
Right.
So that's how you can also arm yourself with neuromarketing strategies.
Yeah.
To really be a smart consumer.
Exactly. Develop this, awareness and mindfulness to think about, yeah, you know the idea is very often we'll make decisions, our decisions are influenced by the things we don't notice. We're not aware that we're not, the things that influence our decisions are hidden there.
Yeah.
So we kind of become, you know, sometimes we think we are in total control of our decisions, but actually, in fact, we're not.
Yeah.
Having that mindfulness, having that awareness actually can actually make us stronger, not weaker.
Yeah, and not be spammed or get caught up in these horrible
right.
ways in which we're taken advantage
right.
of.
Right, you know, it's very related to every aspect of life, you know, how you choose to, who you choose to, you know, be with, who you vote, what you buy, and how you, you know, handle friendships, relationships, you know, workplace relationship. This all has a lot to do with every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
You know?
So I like what you're up to. Thanks for educating us.
Yeah.
About the whole concept and how we can utilize it to improve the experience of our customers and clients
mm-hmm.
and end users in how we set up our websites
right.
and navigate people through
right.
and other ways in which we can set up the environment to make it easier for people to relate to us.
Yeah.
Thank you for yeah. being here. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. Yep.
Yep. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks, Mon Frere, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, and brother from another mother. Okay, see you next week.